Kids, I hear, are going to come and sing for us, Trust and Obey.
Okay, amen. Well, it's good to have the Shoals with us once again, pioneer missionaries to the land of Greenland. It was interesting to have our minds refreshed about all those original hurdles to go over. And I think, is on the front, is that the type of boat you're looking for? Okay, so on your bulletin there, that's the type of the boat they'd like to get. Many villages, no way to get there but by boat or walking. One of the pictures he sent me of the harbor, I guess that's the harbor there with ice. Can you imagine trying to drive a boat through all that ice? Okay. So Lord bless you, Brother Shaw, as you come and speak for us this morning. Amen.
We'll start off with that video. And the video is about a village. Greenland, the uttermost part of the earth. We are the Shoal family, pioneer missionaries in this unreached land. We've been laboring in this town of Alutasak since 2007 where we started the only Baptist church in the entire country. In addition to our church services, we have a youth ministry where, for the very first time, these young people hear the truth from God's Word in their very own language. We also hold meetings in the local prison, which houses inmates from all over the country. There are over 70 towns and villages along the coast of Greenland. A few can be reached by plane, several more can be reached by helicopter, but all can be reached by boat. Since our boat ministry has been on hold due to mechanical issues, we decided to take a helicopter further north to the town of Umanak, an island village of 1,400 souls. Umanak is named for its heart-shaped mountain that overshadows the town. This town is isolated and remote, just like the rest of Greenland. Life here centers around the harbor. The supply ships only come during the short summer season, so the people live on what they catch and hunt from the sea. Alcohol is a major problem in Greenland, and we saw its effects here during our short stay. The results of drunkenness are broken homes, abused and neglected children, and utter despair. Satan still has a tight grip on these souls. The people here are without Christ and without hope. Thankfully, we were able to give out gospel tracts and make some friends. Please pray for the people of Greenland. It is a sad feeling to leave a village knowing it still remains without a preacher. However, we are praying and expecting God to help us relaunch our boat ministry next summer so we can spend more time in these remote villages. Luke 9:56 says, "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village.
Amen. And of course, the group that visited us back in 2016 got to experience one of the villages. Just a great experience. You know, we still love it. Just to pull into another village in Greenland, it's just your heart just is burdened for those people, and it's exciting. You know, our desire and our prayer, you know, is to go to these villages, you know, frequently, obviously, during the summers. And then see see some people have interest maybe see some people saved, and then maybe they would want us to come and start a Bible study, or we could even get online with if they're online, we could do the services online, and hopefully then as we have more missionaries coming to help us, they could go, if God leads them, they could go to these villages where there's people in these villages that want to hear the Word of God, want to learn the Word of God. So you pray for us a lot. Once again, it seems impossible, especially 20 years ago, when we first started out, everything seemed impossible, but here we are. We're there. Amen. We can get missionaries in now. God has done so many things, and you have all had a part in that. Think about that. And now, as we help other missionaries get into the country, you have a part in their ministry too, because you have been supporting and praying for us. Amen. So praise God again for this church, for Liberty Baptist. You've been so faithful to us. Appreciate the fellowship, the encouragement. I was telling my wife, and she was saying too, that we wish we would have planned a few more days here. Amen. It's been so refreshing to be here, and we thank you again. But take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I did want to tell you just a few things that had been happening in Greenland. I told many of you when we were fellowshipping yesterday, but we have a young Greenlandic man who joins our services online, and he speaks really good English. Amen. It's a blessing to be able to speak in English to somebody, and they understand what you're saying. Amen. And but he was a foreign exchange student in America for 7 months in Boston, and somehow somebody invited him out to a Baptist church, and through that he got saved, and he's growing, has a desire for the Word of God. He writes me all the time. And he's been praying for his family. Now, his family, his parents, his mother is really against him coming, being part of the Baptist church and being a Christian. She's very much against that. But his younger brother, he said, was an atheist. But he said he's been talking to his brother, and his brother now says he's not an atheist. Amen. And so, this guy Ian wrote me, and he said, everything I tell my brother, he agrees with me now. Should I give him the gospel now? And I said, yes, you know. And he said, what verses do I give him? You know, so I gave him the Romans Road and, of course, John 3:16, those things. And he told me, he said, I think he's going to get saved soon, but what do we do when he gets saved? He's going to have to be baptized. Can we get him baptized? I said, don't worry, we'll figure that out after he gets saved, amen. We'll dunk him in the ice hole, the fishing hole if you have to, right? amen. But praise the Lord for that. That is just an encouragement to see someone who really, I mean, you know, people have made professions of faith and we see them grow, but then they stop. It seems like they can't get past, you know, all the pressure from their family members. But this guy right now, he is growing. He's not ashamed of Christ, not embarrassed. You pray for him. I mean, there's so many vices, so many temptations. So, I mean, he has nobody. He's all alone in this village. So you pray for him that God continues working his life and he doesn't get distracted. Amen. And fall into sin or anything like that. But we praise the Lord for that. Then another thing that's been happening is back in September, friends of ours in town, they introduced us to a boy from Lebanon. Lebanon is far away from Greenland, amen. I think it borders Israel. But this was a boy, he was 14 years old, and he was new to town, and he didn't speak Greenlandic or Danish. He speaks Arabic and English. English is pretty good. So they wanted us to meet this boy so he would have friends. And so Jonathan became his friend. And he also has a younger brother. He's 12 years old. And, of course, Christopher, who teaches in the school, teaches them sometimes. And so this became a friendship. And we get together with them every week. We play soccer, football. And, you know, just like Americans, we look at soccer and we think, that's a dumb sport. In Europe, they look at football and they say, that's a dumb sport. So we play with them, get together, and then we got them to come out a few times to our children's club. And of course, we had to do things a little different because they don't speak Greenlandic. And then, we were trying to get them out to church, just inviting them. But we were being careful because we hadn't met their father yet, and we knew the background. And we actually were out in town one time with them. Is this on live? Is this online? Oh, just for maybe 1 minute. But we were out in town with these boys, and somebody came up to me and told me, he said, you know, their dad is a terrorist. Then he said, well, he was a former terrorist. He didn't commit any terrorist acts, but when he was just a child, his parents brought him to Denmark. They came into Denmark as refugees, and then he was radicalized by the Muslims there, and he traveled around meeting with Hezbollah and Hamas. But he turned, you know, he turned from that. But take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 5. Let me tell you just a few more things, then we'll get into the message. So much, 20 years is a long time, amen? But you pray for the people. Yeah, it is a hard ministry, and I know when someone comes to Greenland, I try to explain it to them. It's very hard because of the way they think, the natives think, and their culture. There's so many things against them. And we had a man coming to church. From the very beginning, I put an advertisement up in town because I wanted to learn the language, and this man found me. And People were telling me in town, I'd meet other people, and they say, oh, he smokes hash. Now, hash is marijuana in Greenland. And, of course, Jesus was a friend to sinners, amen. And so I became his friend, and, we'd known him for years, and he'd come to church all the time. And he told me one time, he said, I stopped smoking hash. And then I'd see him, again, and maybe a month later, he'd say, it's been a month since I smoked hash. And it got to 6 months, and he would tell me, he said, it's been 6 months since I smoked hash. And I was praising the Lord, I was like, amen. Well, then he told me that his father came from another village to visit him over Christmas. And he said, my father gave me a big lump of hash. And he said, I didn't smoke it. I cut it up and sold it to all my friends. So, and they didn't teach me that in Bible college, Pastor. And I'm thinking, praise the Lord. So just to give you an idea, how the people think there. I wanted to teach on tithing after that. No. But you pray for the people. I mean, the people are friendly, and that's good. Sometimes it's hard to get out, what they're thinking in their hearts and minds, to really know what they understand and comprehend. So you pray for the people there. In the prison ministry, God has given us so many opportunities there. I say prison, and the people see some of the pictures, and they're like, that doesn't look like a prison. And were you in the prison with us, Brother Coy? I can't remember if you were in the prison with us. But it's more like a halfway house. It's not like, there's no security. Nobody carries guns or anything. And Carol makes chocolate chip cookies, amen, that you contribute those chocolate chips. And I go right into the prison, and they don't search me or ask me any questions. And I'm able to have a service in there. It's just amazing that, the doors. And that was through a native that was coming to our church that said, hey, brother, can we get into the prison? And I said, yes, let's do it. And then he moved away. So here I am. But we're doing it. Amen. That's how God has opened doors for us. And it's always exciting to actually see the natives want to get involved in something. That's what it's about. We want to see a native church planted. We don't want to just be there forever. You understand that? It seems like we've been there forever. Amen. But our goal is to see churches planted and natives taking over them and doing it all on their own. So you pray for us. But turn to Luke chapter 5 and verse number 4. Sorry, my voice, I've been struggling with this cough. But Luke chapter 5, verse 4 says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Launch out into the deep. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again for this opportunity to be here. Thank you again for this church. And Lord, we're so glad that they've been a part of Greenland, reaching this country, this pioneer mission field. Thank you, Lord, just for their encouragement through the years. And I would just ask you to bless this ministry. Thank you, Lord, that they're reaching not just this area, but reaching the world as well. Lord, now speak to our hearts through your word. Challenge us, Lord, convict us, and use us for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there's a lot about, when you read the Gospels, there's a lot about the sea. There's a lot about boats. There's a lot about fishermen, right? How many of Jesus' disciples were fishermen? Four of them, right? That's one third of the disciples were fishermen. How many times do we read about Jesus and boats, right? He sat in the boat. He stood in the boat. He slept in the boat, right? The Bible says Jesus went to the cities and to the villages preaching and teaching, amen? He went to the rich and he went to the poor. He went to the upper class and he went to the outcast, amen? In the book of Acts, we read about the Macedonian call. Do you remember that vision that Paul had? And a man said, come over and help us. The Bible says immediately Paul loosed from Troas. What does that mean, he loosed? That means he got on a boat. Amen? It took a boat. He had to get on a boat in order to reach the people of Macedonia. We sing a lot of songs in our hymnal that deal with the sea. Jesus saves. Amen. It's a good song. I'll send the light. I'll throw out the lifeline. And as I read the Gospels, they remind me of Greenland. There's boats. There's the sea. There's fishermen. Now, we live in the Disco Bay, which is 200 miles north of the Arctic Circle. And in our bay, there are 12 towns and villages, and they can be reached by boat. Amen? And in our town of Alluisat, many, many, many of the people are fishermen. And if you're not a fisherman, you're usually related to one or two fishermen. And, of course, fishermen have boats, lots of boats. In America, we have two or three cars. Well, in Greenland, they have two or three boats. And they have that one boat that, has been sitting on land, has holes in it, and they haven't run it in many years, just like Americans have cars, right? Now, if you, of course, the group that came, they saw this, they experienced this. But in Greenland, in the wintertime, of course, the harbor will freeze over, and then they'll use dynamite, and they'll explode the ice and have the ice go out to sea. And then they'll begin to put the docks, the pontoon docks, into the bay. And that's when everybody puts their boats in the water, not just the fishermen. And the people in Greenland have summer homes. How many of you knew they had summer homes? Now, summer home is a shack with no plumbing and no electricity. But the people there, they want to get away from the big city of 5,000 people, and they want to get away and be on their own. Amen? But if you're standing there on the harbor, you would see a boat coming into the harbor, and you'd be thinking, how is this boat going to tie up to the docks? And that boat will come in between two boats, and he'll just start ramming those two boats until those boats separate, and then they pull in there, and they tie up. Now, can you imagine doing that in America? We call it bumper boats. And with our gospel boat, you know, we anchored it. It was too big for the docks, so we anchored it in the harbor, and people would still run into our boats, into our boat. But look at Luke 5. Now look at the first verse. It says, "And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he, Jesus, stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw." Jesus stood by the lake and saw. And this passage is a progression of the work of God in a person's life. First, we see that Jesus was on the shore. You know, the safest place to be is on the shore. You don't have to worry about drowning. You don't have to worry about sinking. How many of you ever been at sea before? How many ever been so far you could not see land? That could be a scary thing, especially depending on the vessel you're in. We had a Bible college student visit us for an internship a few years ago, and my friend took us seal hunting. And we were out in the middle of the bay, and my friend turned the motor off, and he reached down on the inside of the boat and removed part of the floor of the boat, and there was water in there. And then he took a cup and he started bowing the water out. And the Bible college student, he looked at me and he says, "Is it safe to be here?" And I said, "It's too late to ask that, amen?" And my friend told me, he said, "That's normal." He said, "All the boats have holes in them because of all the ice. You just have to bow the water out." You know, the safest place would be on the shore, wouldn't it? You know, in our bay, we have a glacier that's dumping ice. There's enough ice coming into the bay every day that could supply New York City with fresh water for a year. So there's a lot of ice. And some of them are big, some are small. A man from Alaska visited us years ago. And the first morning, he looked out the window and he said, "I don't remember that mountain." And I said, "That's not a mountain, that's an iceberg." He said, "Brother, I'm from Alaska. I know what an iceberg is." Well, about an hour later, he looked out and he's like, "The mountain moved." But in our bay, we have a current, two currents going in different, or coming in the opposite directions. And there's been times we've been in our boat and there's, you know, icebergs coming this way, icebergs coming that way. And, you know, we have to decide, do we gun it or do we try to back up? You know, it's a scary place to be on the sea. One time, my son and I hiked to a village, the one we visited, and my friend picked us up the next morning in his boat. And we came out into the bay, and it was wall-to-wall ice. And I remember being so afraid, we were just running into ice. Nothing we could do. The whole boat was shaking and shuddering. And I remember just praying, and please, Lord, get us safely to shore. I'll never get on another boat, amen? But God, of course, had other plans. Boat ministry, amen? But each year, there are many people that are lost at sea in Greenland. Sometimes they find their bodies, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they find the boats, sometimes they don't. But you know what? The safest place is to be on the shore, isn't it? You know, just let everybody else do all the work, right? The work of the ministry, right? Just stand on shore, stay at home, and watch everybody else do all the work. That is the safest place to be, isn't it? A few years ago, there was a tsunami in Greenland, and there was an earthquake that brought down part of a mountain, a rock slide. And it sent a tidal wave to these two villages that were located in an inlet. So there's nowhere for the water to go but toward those villages. And the water swept several houses into the bay. A family was killed and several others were killed. You know, there was an organization in Europe that saw on their radar that this was occurring, that there was a tsunami hitting Greenland. But they had no way of warning that little village, or those two villages. They had a way to warn the big cities, but they had no way to warn those little villages. You know, there's an organization here this morning called the local church, Liberty Baptist Church. And they have a radar system. It's called the Word of God. And it predicts God's coming judgment on mankind. You know, the Bible says, "He that believeth not is condemned already. The wrath of God is abiding upon him." Think about that. When you see souls, think about this wrath of God abiding upon them because they're lost. And you know what? We need to get out there and we need to reach them. Amen. And Christ put in a warning system. And the warning system is missions. Amen. Missions. And we need to be involved in missions. Amen. Aren't you glad that God uses us in his work? I'm so glad he does. I'm so glad God has used me in his work. You know, in the Bible, the sea is pictured many times as humanity or as the nations of the world. And God wants us involved in reaching the nations of the world. You know, the safest place may be on the shore, but the fish are in the sea. Amen. Look at verse 2. It says, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Here we see the disciples were washing their nets. They were in the water, right? They got their feet wet. They were no longer on the shore, but they were wading in the water. And we need to get into the water. We need to get our feet wet. You know, sometimes when you maybe go swimming, it's a little uncomfortable when you first step into the pool. Maybe you put your toe in there and it's cold, right? It's cold, and it takes you a long time to get into that pool, right? To get acclimated to the weather, to the temperature. But after a while, it gets comfortable, right? And then you don't want to get out. Well, it's kind of like the work of God. You know, if you've never been involved in the work of God, it can be uncomfortable at first, right? You get out of your comfort zone, and you're uncomfortable because you've never done it. You've never been involved in God's work. But you know what? Once you get involved in God's work, there's no turning back. You enjoy it, amen? You want to be involved in more and more and more. We need to get involved in missions. You know, my father-in-law, I was telling Brother Coy that my father-in-law literally got his feet wet a few years ago, fell into the water at the harbor. But my father-in-law was against me going to Greenland. Right? He's a pastor, I told you that. But he was against me taking Carol to Greenland. And many years, you know, he kind of would just give us a hard time. And we came back on our first furlough, and he told me about a church I had to visit. And I thought we were going there for a meeting. And I got there. They had the pulpit committee. But you know what? When my father-in-law visited Greenland in 2014, it changed his life. He saw the souls. He saw the people. And right away, he started coming every year, and he said, we need to get a boat. We need to reach these villages. There's so many people that could be reached if we had a boat ministry. Amen? You know, you're never too old to be involved in God's work. Amen? You're never too young to be involved in God's work. Look at these children up here singing. I want to take some of these children home with me. Amen? Just good, well-behaved children. Amen? Look at verse 2. It says, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them. How many ships are there? And how many people are on those ships now? No one, right? They're empty. Two ships that are sitting empty. Look at verse 3. And it says, and he, Jesus, entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. So Jesus stepped into one of the boats. And you and I, we need to get into the boat with Jesus. You know, Peter got into the boat with Jesus, didn't he? But you know what? There were two empty boats just sitting there, not being used. And I think about Jesus Christ. I think about the potential he saw. If those two boats were being used, they were being employed, just think of all the fish that they could catch. You know, I think the Lord today, I think he sees all the potential here this morning. You know, you say, well, we're not a lot of people. Yes, but there's a lot of potential. Amen. But are you like one of those empty ships just sitting there, not being used, not doing anything? You know, some people say, well, I don't have any special gifts or talents. Well, that's all right. Hey, God still wants to use you. You know, we joke about when God called us to Greenland, he was scraping the bottom of the barrel. Amen. You know, we can look around. I've done it before. You know, especially when I was younger, you look around and say, man, if that person would surrender to God, they could do so much. How foolish, you know, for us to be looking at people and saying that, right? But that's how we are sometimes, right? Not me, but they could do something, right? God wants to use all of us in his work, amen? But my question is maybe you look at so-and-so and think, man, just imagine if they were involved. But, you know, where are they? Where are they? Are they just an empty vessel? A few years ago, we were able to get that church building I told you about. Well, we had a church group come to help us remodel that building. It was pretty old and needed some remodeling done. And before that supporting church came, there was another church that wasn't a supporting church that sent us a crate of tools. And when we opened those crate of tools, they were just old, worn out tools. There was a level that wasn't level, and we didn't realize that until we installed some windows. There was a crowbar that was a big one, but it was all bent. There was a hammer. The first time we used a hammer, the claws went flying off. There was a circular saw or table saw, but when you'd cut, the blade would wobble like that. And you know, they weren't the best tools. And when that group came to remodel, the one man in charge was a master carpenter. And he saw those tools, and he couldn't believe it. He said, I've heard stories about missionaries getting secondhand things, but I've never seen it like this. You know, He didn't sit around complaining all week long saying, oh, I wish I would have brought my drill. I wish I would have I wish I had this. Oh, Brother Shaw, if I had this, I could. No. You know what he did? He used what was available. And we had a Sawzall, and he installed a kitchen sink. So he used that Sawzall to cut a hole out of that countertop. Amen. Like, Sawzall is usually what you use to demolish things, right? When you remove something, right? It's so much fun. It's really not for that nice work, right? The detailed work. But you know what? When he was done, you couldn't tell. It looked good. Amen. You know, Jesus Christ, he's our master carpenter. And when he has a job to do it, he goes to the tool shed. He doesn't look in there and say, oh, I wish so-and-so was in here. Oh, I could do so much if so-and-so was in here. No. He goes in there and he takes what is available. And my question to you is, are you available? You say, I'm just an old worn-out tool. Amen. Amen. God uses old worn-out tools. Amen. Just think about, we were sinners. And now we've been saved by grace, and God wants to use us, amen? And God can take us, right, an old worn-out tool, and he can make something beautiful through us, amen? And you know, an old worn-out tool an old worn-out tool can't say, look at me, look what I did, right? I did that. No. God gets all the glory, amen? God gets all the glory. You know, the Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, right? And are you available? Will you let God use you today? Look at verse 3. It's not enough just to get in the water and step into the boat, but look what Jesus said. He said, verse 3, thrust out a little from the land. You want to experience God's blessings, then you need to thrust out a little. You know, just try God and see what God will do through you. You know, thrust out a little doesn't mean you have to go to Greenland, right? It means you could go out here and hold a sign. How hard is that? Amen, Pastor? That was the easiest witnessing ever. All you had to do is hold a sign. Everybody can do that. You're not that far from the shore, right? If it gets too hard for you, you can swim back, right? You know, we all need to be involved. God wants to use us, right? And, you all have your own group of people around you that only you can reach with the gospel. You know them. The pastor doesn't know them. The missionaries don't know them. You know them, and you can reach them, right? Your family, your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends. And we all need to be involved in God's work right here in the local church. If you're not involved in the local church, obviously God's not going to call you to full-time ministry somewhere else. Amen? But we need to thrust out a little. And remember, you know, the one who tells us to thrust out a little is with us in the boat. Look at verse 3. The last part it says, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Amen? Jesus taught the people from the ship. You know, we have our boat, we just sold it, but it was called the gospel boat. But you know, ours wasn't the first gospel boat. Peter's boat was the first gospel boat. Jesus preached, he used that as a pulpit, and he preached the gospel to those people on shore. And you know, we've just started with the gospel boat ministry. I mean, we're excited. There's so much more to do. I've already explained that to you. I can't wait to see what God's going to do through that ministry. Look at verse 4. He says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft. You know, not enough just to get into the water or get into the boat or thrust out a little, but Jesus says, launch out into the deep. You know, total surrender, total surrender. And that can be scary for some people. You know, I don't understand it now, but when we were on deputation, the pastor would say, support those missionaries or God might call you to Greenland. You know, if you're totally surrendered to God and God calls you to Greenland, you're going to love it. Amen. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Has it been easy, Pastor, pastoring here? God's called you here, but it hasn't been easy, has it? You know, the Christian life's not easy, right? If you're going to be faithful to God, you're going to serve God, it's not going to be easy, right? And really, life without God is not easy. Can you imagine living your life without Christ? No hope. Praise God that we have the hope of eternal life. That verse that was on there earlier, amen? Look at verse number 4, the last part it says, let down your nets for a draft, verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. You know, the disciples had already washed their nets, put them away. They were done fishing. You know, they labored and toiled all night long. You know, fishing is hard work. If that's your profession and you're doing it every day, it's hard work, isn't it? And these disciples were not lazy. They were hard workers, weren't they? But they told Jesus, they said, we have toiled all night and taken nothing. Have you ever felt that way before? You ever grown weary? Of course, the Bible says, let us not grow weary in well-doing. Sometimes we grow weary because we're trying to do it in our own strength. We're trying to figure out how it can be done, doing, you know, in our own means. We need to learn to listen to the Lord. But the disciples, they were tired. It was quitting time for them. A few years ago, a small boat in the bay there by Ludisat hit a mountain, one of those mountains, one of those rocks that comes out of the sea. You know, if you were to remove the water, you'd see a mountainous, bottom of the sea. And a boat hit one of those rocks sticking up out of the water, and the boat began to sink. And somebody was able to call for help on the radio. Now, we have a radio channel that you can call for help, and it covers most of Greenland. And so they had the GPS location of that boat because they had a tracker on the boat. And when the next morning after that happened, we were out in the gospel boat, and we weren't near where the crash happened, but we were out in the gospel boat. We could hear on the radio, and they were giving the last known GPS location, and like every hour they give an update. And I remember, you know, near the afternoon, they came on the radio and said the search was off. They only found one survivor, and they found one body, and they called the search off. It's kind of a surreal moment just thinking about those people. You know, they're lost forever. Aren't you glad that Jesus never quits, never takes a day off from fishing? Amen. aren't you glad someone didn't give up on you? I mean, how many times did you have to hear the gospel before you understood it and turned to Christ and turned from your sins? Amen. We must not quit. We must keep on going. You know, they said, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. It reminds me of pioneer missions. You know, all the hours and the time that we put in when we first got there, and even now. But I remember that when we first got there, putting, you know, 40 hours into a 10-minute sermon in Greenlandic. You know, and just all the obstacles and toiling and just thinking, you know, are we making a difference? Are we doing anything? You know, and he's like, Lord, I've toiled all night and I've taken nothing. But look what Peter said. He said, nevertheless, at thy word, right? Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I'll listen to you, Lord. And aren't you glad you haven't quit? Aren't you glad? You know, we can look around. There's a lot of people that have quit. Missionaries have quit. Pastors have quit. And even faithful church members have quit. Don't quit. You know, for me, in my life, in our lives, we've experienced that those times when we were very low and discouraged and we didn't quit, that's when God gave the increase. That's when God blessed the work. There was a woman who was walking by the church one day, and we gave her a gospel tract. A year later, she came back and she said, I have my ticket. Can I come to church? And she got saved. It took a while. It took probably almost a year. And she got saved, and she's been coming ever since. You know, I could tell you other stories of folks, you know, the way God works things out. Of course, the children's ministry, the children coming through there and quoting John 3:16. Some kids will come and they'll leave when they turn 14, and then they'll just drop in one day, and I'll ask them to say John 3:16, and they'll quote it from memory. Amen. That wouldn't happen if we weren't there. That wouldn't have happened if we quit. I told you about Ian, the young Greenlandic man. If we would have quit, we would have never met him. Amen. Don't quit. Don't quit. And what happened? What happened? The next verse. It says, when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Amen. Amen. Listen to the Lord. And it says, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. In the beginning, there were two empty boats sitting, not being used. Now there are two boats that have caught so much fish that they're sinking. I know Peter was glad that he obeyed the Lord's command. That was the greatest catch of fish they ever experienced. I mean, that's what a fisherman dreams of. I mean, he dreams of that big catch. And this was the greatest catch. I mean, they could have turned around, bought new boats, bought new nets, bought new equipment. I mean, they could have put money aside for retirement. I mean, they were set, weren't they? But what does the next few verses say? Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And they forsook all and followed him. They gave it all up for Jesus, amen? It was a little to give up for Jesus, wasn't it? And you know, a few years after that, These men experienced the greatest catch of souls of men on the day of Pentecost. They saw thousands saved. Amen. Don't be afraid to launch out into the deep. There was a boat with a 12-year-old boy on it, his parents and his uncle in Greenland. And they were out in the winter when it's dark and a lot of ice. And they hit some ice, and the three adults fell overboard. And that 12-year-old boy was stuck on the boat all alone. There was no GPS tracker. He didn't know how to work the motor, but he got on the radio, and he was crying for help. And for hours, he was just crying for help. And finally, the next morning, a fisherman found him and rescued him. You know, but I think about those three that were lost, that perished in the sea. You know, some people ask, why don't they use life jackets? Well, the water is cold, so you won't last long in the water. But that actually is a law. You need to have one life jacket per each person on board. But they don't see the need of a life jacket until it's too late. You know, there are a lot of souls that are perishing in sin. You know, a lot of them are crying out, you know, and they don't know what they need. They're just lost and not content in their sin, and they're crying out. But we know what they need. We know the answer. We know the hope of the gospel of Christ can save them, right? The glorious light of the gospel of Christ can show them, you know, their salvation, right? And we need to get that to the people in this world, whether it's here in Greenville or whether it is across the world in Greenland. Amen. We need to reach out. We need to launch out, and we need to reach souls for Christ. You know, there is an organization here today, Liberty Baptist Church, amen? And there's a radar system, the Word of God, and there's a warning system called missions. And we all need to be involved in God's work of missions, amen? Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you just for loving us. Thank you for saving us from our sins. Lord, do pray for anyone here that may not be saved. Just pray that they would understand that Christ is the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Lord, we thank you that you taught us how to fish for men. Lord, help us to be the witness that we need to be. Use us in everyday life. Lord, give us boldness. Help us not to be afraid of men. Lord, help us to fear you and love you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.